Hi, and welcome to the 2013 edition of the Top 10 Most Influential Albums. This is not about what the best releases of last year was. It's more about, in the past year, what spent the most time in your player? What made you think the most? What did you really enjoy in the past year? By passing along these suggestions, I get turned on to a lot of good new music that I wouldn't know otherwise, so please respond. Drop a line at dave@davehartle.com. I'll take your answers, append them to the docs, and then repost them. You can go back and see any of the past years, going back to 1998. Without further ado, let's go on. This year, this list isn't in any kind of order. We're just going to go alphabetical by artist, starting with the Miles Davis Quintet, Live in Europe, 1969, the Bootleg Series, Volume 2. Columbia Legacy keeps raiding its vaults for unreleased gems by established artists Bob Dylan, Miles Davis. This one is one of the best. Europe always appreciated the American art form of jazz much more than America ever did itself. So when Miles brought his unbelievable quintet of himself, Wayne Shorter, Chick Corea, Dave Holland, and Jack DeJohnette to Europe, the TV stations there made sure to chronicle the event. Radio broadcasts were common. It was an event. And a damn good thing they did, too, because this band was dubbed the Lost Band, because Miles never did get them together in a studio to record, and the American venues they played never recorded them. They passed relatively unnoticed, unfortunately. This is really free playing based around little motifs that Miles would cue up, and some of it really gets out there. Chick Corea in particular, playing a lidless Fender Rhodes so he could access the mechanics and mess with it, and his mind still not befuddled by Ron Hubbard's Scientology bullshit. He never played again this openly. This set includes three CDs of music and a DVD that's just unbelievable. Be glad that European sensibilities are sharper than ours on this music, or it would have been lost forever. Next up is George Duke's Dreamweaver. A sense of loss really permeates this release, the great George Duke's final statement before his passing last year. Making it all the more tragic is the presence on a 15-minute jam of guitarist Jeff Lee Johnson, one of the most underappreciated talents of the last 50 years, who also passed away last year. Jeff was a local legend around Philadelphia and New York, a real musician's musician, one of the nicest guys I ever met, and his presence is just really sorely missed by all the local musicians here. This cut is absolutely brilliant, and if that isn't tragic enough, you have to throw in a track by the late Tina Marie, who passed recently as well. This was originally destined for a joint project she was planning with George Duke, and altogether you have a CD that I can really barely listen to without choking up a little bit. It's not all about tragedy, though. George Duke was one of those guys whose influence on my generation was so enormous that we sort of took him for granted as a given. He was out in L.A. and just churning out the material. Listening to this album takes me back to the incendiary performances with Frank Zappa that I witnessed way back when, and reminds me of his off-kilter humor and the soul that was so evident on his early albums. I wouldn't play the way I do if it hadn't been for George Duke. True, this is a sad listen when you consider the encapsulation of all the immense losses in 2013 that it shows off, but it's ultimately a joyful celebration of the light of the human soul. We will miss you, George Duke. This is Fairport Convention, an album called Babacom Lee. Fairport remains a delight to the now older generation. The millennium guys don't know about them at all from what I can tell. Fairport came along originally with the amazing Sandy Denny on vocals, and they fused English folk music with electric instruments back in the late 1960s and early 70s. There was only a couple groups that really did this well. Babacom Lee was their attempt at a concept album based on the failed execution of a simple-minded soul who defied the gallows three times and had to be set free by English law. I loved this album in my last year of high school, and it's been unavailable for decades. I really hadn't heard it in a long time, finally found a CD release of it, and it's as delightful as I ever remembered. Maybe it's nostalgia, but I suspect it's just a great album that's been long forgotten and overlooked. Next up is Edgar Ferreza, solo, 1974 to 1983, The Virgin Years. This is a 4-CD compilation of all the albums he did on Virgin back in the 70s and early 80s. Among the retail rubble, Suspect Food, and Airborne Grease cologne of the Quakertown Farmers Market lies Record Revival, the greatest CD store I know outside of the Princeton area. Ralph, the proprietor, never fails to get me obscure requests. The prices are lower than anywhere else I know of, and the used bins bristle with unexpected rare finds, this 4-disc set being a case in point. I found it on a Saturday morning for like $7 and snatched it up immediately. I knew it was an opportunity to check out in depth a man I know I owed something to, a founder of the electronica band Tangerine Dream, early trance music developer, and synth geek supreme. I don't listen to this music as much as to be absorbed into its field. If I listen closely, I have to admit, feeling a little bored. But as environmental background, it's the best. Being a synth geek myself, I really do marvel at how Ferreza managed to get the results he gets with the crude tools of this time period. Pimple-endowed adolescent nerds can sit in their rooms and use their soft synths and sequencers to spew out similar kind of textures these days, but if it wasn't for what's in these discs, they'd have to go back to Dungeons and Dragons for their entertainment. This is classic stuff. Oh yeah, Scott Henderson, Jeff Berlin, and Dennis Chambers, HBC's the album. Last year's top 10 list was a great bonanza of feedback from readers and listeners, and I really enjoyed a lot of the suggestions that came along. This one was one of the best and appeared on quite a few of the lists. These three guys redefined the guitar power trio with some of the most remarkable playing I've heard in years. Their version of Mysterious Traveler, the old Weather Report tune, should be enshrined in the next SETI mission launch by which aliens would judge our species. It's really that good. Phonic, The Night Before. I'm driving home late one night listening to John DiLiberto's Echoes show when he played something I really liked. I came home, looked it up online to see what it was, and found out about the band Hoover Phonics. I don't know why I like this. There's a lot of reasons I normally wouldn't. Harmonically simple synth pop, obligatory attractive chick singer with limited emotional range, etc. But damn it, I can't help but be seduced by this. I purposely haven't researched anything about this. I suspect they're European, but don't know, and I don't wanna. I'm really afraid that knowing more about this group will shatter the delicate niche that they've made in my favorites, and I don't even want to hear any other albums by them. It can only disappoint me, I fear. Sometimes you just gotta accept what you like unquestionably when it comes along, and this is one of those times. Next up, Van Morrison, Veden Fleece, although it could be any number. Over the last 6 months, I've filled in the Van Morrison catalog in my iTunes library. Bog knows there's enough of it out there. I've been listening to scores of hours of the man from his first masterpiece, Astral Weeks, to his latest 2013 release, Born to Sing, No Plan B. I could put about a dozen titles into this slot here, all equally worthy. But I went with Veden Fleece. Other Van Morrison albums that are sadly overlooked by most, but incredibly enjoyable anyway, would have to include Hard Knows the Highway, Poetic Champions Compose, A Period of Transition, Inarticulate Speech of the Heart, and Common One. But Veden Fleece occupies a special niche somehow. Coming out of the gate in 1968 after leaving his first group, Them, Morrison had a 7-year supernova of a recording career. Astral Weeks, Moon Dance, his band and street choir, Tupelo Honey, St. Dominic's Preview, Hard Knows the Highway, and finishing it up with a live double album that would be a capstone of a career for anybody else. It's Too Late to Stop Now. Any of these albums could be in a person's all-time top 10 list. But in 1974, after this long run of incredible albums, he reached out to his muse, produced Wieden Fleece, and then promptly fell off the map for a three-year vacation. It's more of the lengthy, dreamy ambience of Astral Weeks than the hard-hitting R&B of the other albums in between. But while summing up a short, brilliant career of incredible creativity, it also looks ahead to the spiritual work of the 1980s that still lay far ahead, a decade away in the future. It's like he took his songwriting full circle in these 7 years and made a perfect closure of everything he had done. Van's for real. Rumors of his difficulty to deal with and insensitivity to the musicians abound. And I imagine he's seen a lot of people trying to abuse him and heard a lot of undeserved negative comments that could turn anyone into a misanthrope. But ultimately, what you leave behind is what counts. Listening to Wieden Fleece is hearing the end of a man's chapter in his life, and knowing what lies ahead makes it all the more thrilling. Lesser artists could have recycled this creative period for a lifetime of tours, but Van dug back into his soul and kept going, leaving Wieden Fleece as a beacon to refer back to, and as a summation of his youth. Next up, Oscar Peterson, 8 classic albums. Back around 1975 or so, I went to the now demolished Valley Forge Music Fair. There was a triple bill. Tickets probably ran about $8, I bet. And it was a triple bill of Oscar Peterson playing solo piano, Ella Fitzgerald with Tommy Flanagan accompanying, and the Count Basie Orchestra. I was just starting to figure out what jazz was about, taking cut lessons with Jimmy Amadei, and making fledgling attempts to play it on piano very badly, and I thought that seeing these people whom I had heard about might be inspiring. Little did I know. Oscar came out onto the stage, smiled, nodded to the audience, sat down and played for about 30 minutes. My life was never the same again. After his last bow, I realized I was crying uncontrollably, tears running down my face, and a thought burning inside my brain. This man must never die. This ability and creativity, it's immortal, and he really should never pass. Later in years, his stroke and ultimate passing, I did find it hard to take, just hard to believe that any talent that great could ever go. I was never so completely overwhelmed in a concert situation as in that moment. I liked the other acts, but for me as a pianist, I was in a state of shock, and nothing quite got through like Oscar had. To this day, I know I'll never be able to touch Oscar's level, but the attempt to pursue his trail has been a daily inspiration for decades. This little 4-disc set is a repackaging of 8 of his classic albums, all of them also featuring the great Ray Brown, who many years later I had the honor of playing with and was totally, totally intimidated by. He had touched greatness on a daily basis that I would never know. Give this a listen and hear why. This is Santana, Lotus. Originally released as a 3-LP quality vinyl gatefold release with all sorts of posters and extras in Japan only, this captures the live 1973 Santana band as they rounded the corner from their early Latino roots and turned to the cosmos. Tom Costner has always been an inspirational electric keyboards, the perfect foil to Carlos Santana's lyricism. I hadn't heard this in years and finally reconnected to it this year. I wasn't disappointed. It's as great as I remember, and even better as an older musician. I saw Santana when their 3rd album came out, and I remember it as one of the best shows I've ever seen. Hearing this reaffirms that memory. Next up, Wayne Shorter's Without a Net, latest album by Wayne. He turned 80 years old this year, and his quartet is, I still feel, the greatest jazz band in the world. Spontaneous, inventive, intuitive, talented beyond belief. He does not disappoint with this release. My puny words cannot begin to match the brilliance contained in this CD. Just listen to it. So that's it for 2013's most influential albums from my end. As always, I really welcome any feedback. If you post me a message at dave@davehartle.com, I'll append your thoughts to the end of the physical PDF that you can download, and you can catch up with what everybody else thought. It's a great way to get turned on to new music. I hope you got some ideas for things to listen to in 2014, and I'll see you next year.